Go with me to John chapter 5. We read 21, 26, and 23 in that order. What verse did I say we'll read first? 21. If you have my version, feel free to read aloud with me. Are we ready? For as the Father does what? Raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them. Come on. Even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. Now, let's read that again. I didn't hear you. For as the Father does what? Raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them. What are the next two words? Even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. Now, we've got two personalities in that verse. Name them. The Father and the Son. What does the Father do? Or what does he have the power to do? Raise the dead. Now look at the expression, even so. The Son quickeneth whom he will. What does even so mean? Likewise, give me another expression. Also, three words, the same way. So what we have told to us about the Father and the Son, they are equal in their power to raise the dead. What's the third favor I ask you to do for me? You forgot. Think. Now, listen again microscopically. What's our subject? Looking unto Jesus. For as the Father, as means the same way the Father can raise the dead, and quicken the dead. To quicken means to bring alive. That's the same way the Son can raise the dead and quicken the dead. Go to verse 26. Read with me. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. Now the Father is life. The Son is life. Tell me you're with me. The Father is life. The Son is life. Verse 21, the same way the Father raises the dead is the same way the Son raises the dead. Verse 26, the same way the Father naturally has life, he is life. The same way the Son naturally has life, he is life. Now, look at verse 23. Read clearly with me. That all men should honor the Son. Come on, how? Even as they honor the Father. Stop. Give me another word for honor. Obey. Give me another word. Respect. Give me another word. What are we doing today? Worship. Now, let's put worship where you see honor. Read verse 23 again. That all men should worship the Son as they worship the Father. He that worshipeth not the Son, worshipeth not the Father which hath sent him. Looking at verse 21, 26, and 23, what have we learned about the Father and the Son? They're equal in divinity, in holiness, in righteousness, in power. They're equal. When Lucifer rebelled in heaven, Ellen White informs us in The Story of Redemption, page 13, paragraph 2. What book did I say? What page? What paragraph? The word God told all the angels, the Father, the word of the Son of God was to be obeyed as readily as the word of the Father. You see, angels do not know everything. They learn as they go along. Let me say it again. Angels, well, let me make it more broad. Any created being does not know everything. and has to learn. That includes angels. The angels had to be told, the word of the Son must be obeyed as my word is obeyed. Same book, Story of Redemption, page 14, paragraph 1. The Father told the angels, Christ was recognized, acknowledged, supreme in heaven. His power and authority to be the same as that of God himself. What's our subject? Now, when you look at Jesus, tell me now, based on all we've said, who are you looking at? Tell me something else. Someone that can do what? Raise the dead. As well as, he can raise the dead as well as. I don't preach a lot, I like to teach. Now listen to me. He can raise the dead as well as. The Father. He can raise the dead as well as the Father. Are you with me now? Question again. When you look at Jesus, at whom are you looking? Yes. You're looking at the perfect reflection of the Father. What the Father can do, Jesus can do. Now, why do I say looking unto Jesus? Let's go now to Hebrews chapter 12. We'll read from verse 1. Do you have Hebrews? Chapter 12. We'll read from verse 1. Before we read, let me pray again. Father, as I continue, remind me, dear God, through the whispering of the Holy Spirit, that my purpose is to glorify you and you alone. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us do what? Lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. By the way, let me pause and challenge your thinking. What do you think is the sin that doth so easily beset us? Let me give you a clue. What is Hebrews 11 all about? Give me one word. Faith. Now, let me give you some information. When the Bible was written, there were no chapters or verses. So you just read right on. Don't allow chapter divisions to interrupt your understanding of a message. So let's forget there's 11 and 12. Let's read from 11 right into 12. Are you with me? 11 stresses faith. Now, listen to 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, who are the cloud of witnesses? What is chapter 11 all about? How do you know that? How do you know that? How do you know chapter 11 is faith? Give an example of faith in chapter 11. By faith, earlier than that, by faith, Noah being warned of God. Before that, by faith, Enoch. By faith, Abel. And so there are people in chapter 11 who live lives of faith. Is that clear? Say yes or no. Now, listen to verse 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, tell me about the cloud of witnesses. The people in chapter 11. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. What do you think is the sin that doth so easily beset us? Lack of faith. And we know, chapter 11, verse 6, without faith, you can dress well, drink distilled water, eat vegan manna, and you have no faith. You displease God. The just shall live how? by faith. Now, let's start one again of chapter 12 and go all the way down without interruption. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Pick up verse 2 now. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, keep reading, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. And so in verse 2, we read, looking unto Jesus. In verse 3, we read, consider him. Look at him. And who do you see? Let's go to Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45. When you hear the word grace, think of Jesus. When you hear love, think of Jesus. When you hear righteousness, think of Jesus. When you hear the gospel, think of Jesus. When you hear salvation, think of Jesus. The second coming, think of Jesus. The resurrection, think of Jesus. Forgiveness, think of Jesus. When you do that, the call to give your life to Jesus takes on a different meaning altogether. Isaiah 45, you read verse 12. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their hosts have I commanded. Now this chapter introduces us in verse 1 to Cyrus, whom God calls his anointed. For thus said the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus. That's verse 1. Question for you, who is that Lord? Now you're saying that because of what I've been saying. But you're right. That person is Jesus. Because here's what he says in verse 12. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their hosts have I commanded. This person who called Cyrus to deliver the Israelites from Babylonian bondage, God identifies himself as the creator of heaven and earth. And we know, and I'll show you, the creator of heaven and earth is Jesus Christ. When you think of Christ, you think of the God from Genesis to Malachi. Give you a minute to pause or to think. Example, the burning bush, the voice out of the burning bush was Jesus Christ. The manna in the wilderness represented Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4, and that rock that followed them was Christ. Let me express it more comprehensively. From the instant Adam sinned, all communication with divinity was through Jesus Christ. The Father has had no direct communication with this earth from the instant Adam sinned. That is why Christ is the Lamb slain, how far back? From the foundation of the world. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. When Adam sinned, everything went through Jesus Christ. And so when he says in John 15, without me, ye can do nothing. That's not a joke. That is biblically correct. Without Christ, you and I cannot breathe. We know the words of 2 Chronicles 7, verse 13. Let's go there quickly. We know 14. We seldom look at 13. 14 says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves on prayer, seek my face, turn from the wicked ways, we know that. Let's look at 13. Who is the person saying, my people? Then I will heal the land. Who is that? Look at verse 13. Read with me. If I what? Shut up heaven that there be no rain. Or if I what? Command the locusts to devour the land. Now, who is that that can command the locusts? Jesus Christ, the Creator. Did not he command the waves and the sea? And the disciples said, what manner of man is this that even the waves and the sea do what? Obey him. Why do they obey him? Because he is the Creator. When God told Elijah, I will command the ravens to feed you, 1 Kings chapter 17, the ravens obeyed the command of Christ. And they brought him food morning and evening. When that donkey spoke to Balaam, it was Christ that empowered that donkey to speak. Go with me to Psalm 90. What's our subject? Looking unto Jesus. Do you have Psalm 90? By the way, that psalm was written by Moses, not by David. Who has said, Lord, put your words in that man's mouth? Has anyone said that prayer for me? Oh, God bless you. Okay. Psalm 90, reading from verse 1. Are you there? Read with me. What does that say? Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Pause. We have to review that microscopically. What do I mean by microscopically? A detailed examination. Every molecule in the verse, every atom, every mitochondrion for you scientists, every neutrino you look at. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth. When he says before the mountains were brought forth, he might as well have said before creation. Or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Let's pause there. We'll come back. Go to Titus chapter 3 as quickly as you can. Titus 3, we read 4, 5, and 6. What's our subject? Looking unto Jesus. What have you discovered so far about Jesus? He's one with the Father. Yes, he is. He's divine. He is the mighty God. Do you have Titus chapter 3? Let's read 4, 5, and 6. I want to hear you read. Are you ready? Read with me. But after that, the kindness of love and love of whom? God, our Savior toward man, appeared. Verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by his own what? He saved us, how? With the washing of regeneration and renewing of the? Which he shed on us abundantly, how? Now look at 4 and look at 6. Do we have Savior in verse 4? Who's the Savior in verse 4? God. Who is the Savior in verse 4 of Titus 3? God, our Savior. Who is the Savior at the end of verse 6? Jesus Christ. Now, question for you. How many saviors are there? One. Now let's put 2 and 2 together and don't come up with 22, please. If Jesus is our Savior in verse 6, and God is our Savior in verse 4, what is Jesus? God. Who is our Savior? God. What's our subject? When you look unto Jesus, to whom are you looking? God. Now, I never said Jesus is the Father. I said Jesus is as divine as the Father. We're not discussing many gods. We're discussing one God. Now, I can say Jesus is God, the Holy Ghost is God, the Father is God. You may think I'm discussing three gods. No, I'm not. Go with me to Genesis as quickly as you can. Surely you can find Genesis in 2 seconds. You have Genesis chapter 1. We read 26 and 27. We read 1, 26, 27. Our subject, looking unto Jesus. Verse 1, Genesis 1. Now look up. Don't look at your Bibles, please. Just look up. Say verse 1. Ah, God bless you. The word God there is plural, Elohim. All right. Now let's go to verse 26. Mm-hmm. 26. Ah, God bless you for running ahead of me. I'm so happy. All right, let's read now. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Stop. Let us. Is that singular or plural? That's plural. So we know at least two. We know there are three, but at least two. We're speaking. Let us make man in our. But it does not say in our images. Because they all have the same image. And that image is God or divinity. Let us make man in our image, not our images. We all have the same image. Now look at verse 27, quickly as you can. Read with me, go right ahead of me and read. So God created man in his, what's that? Singular. So one of the many actually did the creating. Some of you are confused. It's my fault. What's favor number 3? Think. Look at verse 26, microscopically. And read with me. And God said, let us make man in our, that's more than one, after our light. Now look at verse 27. So God created man in his, which means one of the our actually did the creating, but they were all behind it. Are you with me? And that one person, finish my word, is Jesus. My brothers and sisters, it's absolutely essential that you understand. Looking unto Jesus is looking unto God. He is the mighty God. He's the one who created heaven and earth. He's the one who called Cyrus 150 years before Cyrus was actually born. He's the one who brought Israel out of Egypt using Moses as his earthly proxy. He's the one represented by the rock that gave water, the manna that gave food, the cloud that gave cooling in the day, and the pillar of fire gave heat in the chilly night. Jesus Christ. The tabernacle represented Jesus Christ. Every sacrifice pointed to Jesus Christ. The priest represented Jesus Christ. The white fence represented Jesus Christ. The door in the fence or the gate, Jesus Christ. The animal that was brought, Jesus Christ. The table of showbread, Jesus Christ. The candlestick, Jesus Christ. The altar of incense, Jesus Christ. The ark containing the law, Jesus Christ. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, let's listen to Jesus talking to Abraham. Go to Genesis 18 as quickly as you can. Look at the father of the faithful brother Abraham. Our subject, looking unto Jesus. Do you have Genesis 18? When God told Abraham that Sarah would have a child, she laughed. She said she's too old. And the Lord said to Abram, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety have a child which I'm old? Then in verse 14, read the question God asked Abraham. And now, out loud, is anything too hard for the Lord? Now, I want you to read that differently. Is anything too hard for Jesus? Yes. And the answer is no. Now, what's your problem right now? What's our subject? Looking unto Jesus. Is it food you need? Who made food? Jesus. Is it water you need? Who made water? Jesus. Jesus said, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. What's the fullness? Whether it's gold, silver, platinum, trees, you name it, all belong to Jesus. You don't believe me? Listen to the Bible. Just listen. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. All things were created by him and for him. This is the Christ praying to the Father. Just listen, don't go there. John 17:9 and 10. I pray for them, meaning the disciples. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine. Whatever God has belongs to Jesus. Are you dealing with a broken relationship that looks unfixable? God is an expert in healing broken relationships, and the proof of that is Calvary. You have a child who has left the church. God has children who have left him over and over again in the Old Testament called the Israelites. And he would not give up on them over and over. In Isaiah chapter 5, verse 4, he said, what could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done? He did everything he could to reclaim his constantly straying child. Because sometimes the Bible calls all of Israel the Son of God. Are you unemployed looking for work? Genesis 2:15, and the Lord God, when Jesus Christ took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it, God gave work. You looking for work? Looking unto Jesus. Are you sick? I am the Lord that healeth thee. Exodus 15:26. And who is that? Jesus Christ. Your enemies are troubling you and bothering you. What did Christ tell the Israelites through Moses? Exodus 14:14. Stand still. I will fight for you. But you've got to look to him. When the Israelites were bitten by serpents in Numbers 21 because they complained about the kind of food they were eating, the Bible says in Numbers 21, verse 5, and the Lord sent serpents among the Israelites, and they bit the Israelites, and many of the Israelites died. And they cried to Moses, pray to God. And God told Moses, put a brazen serpent on a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh, he shall live. Now, can you look at Jesus without eyes, yes or no? Come on, yes or no? Yes, you don't need these. You look with this and this. Can you come to Christ without feet? Yes, it's done here and here. A paraplegic on a hospital bed can come to Christ. And so the counsel was, everyone that looks, he'll be healed. Now, go to John 3. John 3, and then I'm closing. You have John 3. I want you to read for me very clearly. We'll read 14 to 16. And I hope you'll see 16 differently from the way you've seen it before. Verse 14 of John 3, when you've got it, say amen. Read for me nice and loud. What does that say? And as Moses did what? Lifted up the serpent where? In the wilderness. Keep reading. Even so, come on, must the Son of Man be? Ah, do you see even so? The same way that serpent on the pole, when they looked in faith, the serpent can heal you. The serpent represented Christ. You may say, why a serpent? Well, the serpent bit them, but Christ had to become sin for us. Are you with me? He became sin for us. The Father saw him as sin on that cross. That's why he cursed him and turned away. He was sin on that cross, but he never sinned. Let me say that very clearly. But he took all our sins. The thief on the cross, he looked at Jesus and he saw a Savior. What did he say? Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Those who looked at the serpent. Now, the Bible says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Read verse 15. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, read without looking. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, drop believeth, that whosoever looketh. What's our subject? Looking unto Jesus. What were they to do in the wilderness? Look at that serpent, but you look with this and this. When you look, you don't see a serpent. You look in faith. They were to look in faith to the day when Christ would come and die on a cross. My brothers and sisters, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The Bible says in John 1 verse 9, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. That light is some degree of the presence of Jesus Christ, some degree of faith. Who gives us that at birth? Jesus Christ. Because if without faith you can't please him, and the carnal nature has no faith, it cannot produce faith. A measure of faith must be given from outside. You didn't get what I said. There must be an injection of a certain degree of faith into that fetus. And that is done by Christ, the Creator. My brothers and sisters, here's what Jesus says to you and me. You know this passage very well. And I am closing. I said that twice. I usually say it five times. But John 14, 1 to 3, say it with me. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God?
Yes.
There's some churches that accept God, not Jesus. You believe in God?
Believe in me.
In my Father's house are many mansions. Now, we know from John 17, 9 and 10, whatever the Father has belongs to Jesus. So in my Father's house are many mansions which are mine. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Jesus wants you where he is. Let me say differently. Under the present circumstances, you know, we're filled with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost represents Christ. That's not close enough. I can't touch Jesus. And he's physical. He still is. I'll probably deal with that another time. Christ is still physical. So he can't dwell in me. He dwells in me through the Spirit, which is non-physical. Christ is in heaven. But for him, that's not ideal. He wants a situation in which he is right next to us. We can touch him. And that will not happen until sin is removed, until we're delivered from this earth and we go with him for 1,000 years, then we come back, everything is changed, we live forever. Yes, I said forever. And so Jesus is yearning and longing for a close relationship that does not require a mediator or a spirit to indwell us. Because he loves you. Why? Because he is love. Also, he made us. And he wants to be close to what he made. Christ came to save what was his. You didn't hear me. Listen to the Bible. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. On the basis of his role as creator, we belong to him. But by our choices, we give ourselves to Satan. But Satan created no one. But when we sin, we give Satan the legal right to occupy our lives. When we practice sin, we legally authorize the devil to possess us. Not all possessed people fall on the ground and foam at the mouth and their eyes roll back into the... No. The devil is very smart. Most demon-possessed people look normal. And the only way for that legal possession to be reversed, Christ must make a legal act. That was Calvary. Because of Calvary, he has the right now, if you call him, to come and take what Satan says is his. Who has your life? It's either Christ or Satan. The Bible never said looking unto Satan. It said looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. From beginning to end, it is Christ. Have you given your life to this person called Christ? Someone wrote me a couple days ago, how do I give my life to Christ? And I simply said, say it. Go to Romans chapter 10 quickly. Let me show you what I mean. Romans 10. We read 9 and 10 of Romans 10. You have that? Let's read verse 9. What does that say? That if thou wilt confess, come on, with thy mouth, the Lord. What does that mean to confess with your mouth? Say something. How did God create the world? By thinking it. What did he do? He said something. Let there be light. How did he raise Lazarus? Did he just think it? What did he do? He said something. When he rebuked demons, did he think it? He said something. Now, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart, say it, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I surrender my life to you. And mean it. Say it. And say it every day. In the name of Jesus Christ, you've got a weakness? When it comes upon you, you start praying. And you say out loud, if you're by yourself, depending on what the weakness is, in the name of Jesus Christ, by the power of his shed blood, I am not going to that website. In the name of Jesus Christ, and by the power of his blood, I will spend 15 minutes reading the Bible before I go online. Say it. When Christ comes back, he raises all the righteous dead, not by thinking it, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise. Every dead righteous person, from Abel to whomever, comes up, because Jesus will say something. And so I say to you today, have you given your life to Christ? You can't just think it. You have to say it. Because the devil can't hear you when you think it. He has to hear it said. You can't. I don't know if you've ever been involved in demon possession, having to pray for people. You just can't come to the person and think in the name of Jesus Christ. You just think, mm-mm. You've got to issue a command in the name of Christ, assuming you're God's child. The Ten Commandments were not thought, they were spoken. You made a New Year's resolution to go to the gym 3 times a week. The first day has come and you're waffling. In the name of Jesus Christ, I'm going to that gym today. Mm-hmm. Say it. Confess it with your mouth. You lazy student. In the name of Jesus Christ, I will study my calculus. Say it. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Our Father in heaven, we thank you, dear Lord, for that tremendous resource which is ours, looking unto Jesus. We have seen by looking at Christ, we're looking at someone who is fully God, divine, the creator, the one who conquered death, hell, sin, the grave, and Satan. The one who said, I and my Father are one. The one who said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who said, I will come again. The one who said, all things the Father hath are mine. The one who said before Abraham was, I am. Dear God, help us to look to Jesus. Not with physical eyes, dear God, with the heart, the mind, intellectually, and with some emotion. We look to Jesus Christ, the author, the finisher of our faith. And in these trying times in which we live, and they will get worse, dear God, we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. When Jehoshaphat prayed, because 3 armies threatened Judah, he said in his prayer, 2 Chronicles 20 verse 12, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. He was looking unto Jesus. And by a miracle, the Israelites were delivered. And now, Father, I'll make an appeal to your people. If you will commit right where you are to say, Father, I surrender my life to you. If you're willing to do that, stand with me. Give that life to him. It's his, really. Because you cannot create life. Now, I want you to say it out loud. By the grace of God and by the power of the shed blood of Christ, I surrender my life to God. Father, accept this commitment, dear God, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Your sons, your daughters, and I have joined them, have said it as sincerely as they can. Record it in heaven, dear God. Let them renew this surrender every day, first thing in the morning and last thing at night, because we know not what will happen when we put our heads on those pillows. We've given ourselves to you. We are yours legally. Defend us from the enemy, Father. But let us do what's necessary to stay in your hands. Study, obey, and pray. Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Let all God's people say, amen and amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. Free listing of this message and over 7,000 other presentations by more than 100 speakers on 50 different topics is now available on our American Christian Ministries mobile app for Android and Apple devices, and on our secure website, or call 800-233-4450. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry, as we help to prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.